There's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says that if somebody wants to have friends, they have to themselves be friendly. And then it goes on and says, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I'm going to read from the book of Galatians and from chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently, but watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, then he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. As I said at the beginning, we're looking at these four key words which shape us as a church: praise, belong, act, and grow. Praise, we want to be a church of worship. We want to express our love for God. Except you don't need to do that inside a building. The church needs to be the church wherever we are, scattered 24/7. And so praise is a way of life. It's an attitude that you carry with you through the week. Where do you praise God? Act. We want to show God's love for his world in our actions. So I'm proud to be part of a church where we are so devoted to things like supporting the food bank, running the CAP debt centre, supporting the Carlisle Refuge, and in so many other ways. We want to be demonstrating God's love into our community. And we want to grow. Love that's not static, but love that grows and deepens with each passing day. I wonder, has your love for Jesus grown? Can you look back at when you first became a Christian? And the love that you had then, has that love grown and deepened with the years? And then today, belong. We want to be a church where we demonstrate our love for one another. How do we do that? So, belonging. We want to be a friendly and a welcoming church where everybody feels that they can belong. A church where everybody feels that they fit in. A place where they feel that they are at home. I remember in one of my previous churches, I was privileged enough to take the funeral for an elderly gentleman who died. Well, that's probably a good idea to take the funeral, really. His wife and he had been church members a long while back. In fact, I think they'd even met through church. Church social functions, a church dance or something like that. But then children had arrived and, life changes for one reason or another, they'd stopped coming to church. Life happened and church wasn't part of their routine. They'd drifted away from the church. And maybe it was, I don't know, something like 40 years or something, maybe longer, 50 years, since they'd last been in church. And now here she was, back in the church, for the funeral of her husband. She came to the service the week after, very trepidatiously. Is that a word? I've made a word up, trepidatiously. But fearfully, anxiously, she wanted to come back to church, but she wasn't quite sure what kind of a welcome she would get. Would there be somebody there who would say to her, "We haven't seen you around these parts for a long time. Where have you been then?" What kind of a welcome was she going to get? Now, it just so happened that during that period, as a church, we were looking at bringing home the prodigals. And it was a story of the prodigal son. And that was the story that was being preached on that Sunday. A story about how the prodigal goes to the far country, comes to his senses, but then begins to wonder, what kind of a welcome will I get if I go home? And that was the sermon that this lady heard that first Sunday that she came back to church after 40 or 50 years. And after the service, she said to me, "You know, it felt like coming home. It felt like I belonged, and I'd been missing out all these years. But here I was, back at home once again." How do we, as a church, maintain that sense of belonging, of being a friendly and a welcoming church? It's a basic need that every person has. Everybody needs to feel that they are welcomed, needs to feel that they are loved, needs to feel that they are accepted, needs to feel that there is somewhere that they belong. In the mornings on the television at the moment, they are rerunning old episodes of Cheers. I'm not sure whether that's rerunning or whether it's just a constant thing that, you know, just keeps going and going and rolling and rolling and rolling. But you know the theme tune to Cheers. Sometimes you want to go where everyone knows your name and they're always glad you came. But that's about a bar in Boston. And I think, I want to take that and say that applies to PMC. That applies to church. Sometimes you want to go where everyone knows your name. And those of you that know Cheers know that every time that Norm walks into the bar, everybody turns and shouts, "Norm!" Kind of a running joke throughout the program. Sometimes you want to go where everyone knows your name and they're always glad you came. After Cheers came Friends. And Friends was very much geared and built around the idea of six friends. That small group that you felt intimately related to, that you saw life with, you walked through with them. And I suppose that was a sense of longing that everybody has to be part of a group, somewhere that they belong, somewhere that they know one another and relate to one another and work together. As it says in this passage in Galatians, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's look a little bit more closely at Jesus' life. I mean, if you look at Jesus' life, he was surrounded by crowds. There were crowds of people, whether it was feeding 5,000 men, let alone the women and children, whether it's when he needs to get into a boat in order to be able to preach because the crowds are pressing on him, whether it's when he is confronted with a paralyzed man that's let down through the roof because the crowds are pressing in at the door. There are crowds around him, so much so that he often has to take time aside on his own to be away from the crowds. But then if you shrink down from the crowd, then there's the 72 or the 70 that Jesus sends out. So disciples, not just the 12, but the 72 that he sends out. We're kind of shrinking down. Then you get to the 12. But even within the 12 disciples that walk with him along the byways and all the roads of Israel, with him through that 3.5 years. Even within that group, there's a smaller group of three that are with him on special occasions, that are with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, that are with him in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus says, watch and pray. And then even from the three, there's the one, John, the beloved disciple. Some of the young girls will know what BFF stands for. Best friend forever. BFF. Who's your BFF? Who's your BFF? Who's your best friend forever? And so there in the life of Jesus, from the one, the best friend forever, to the 12, or to the three, to the 12, to the 72, to the crowds. I wonder if that kind of resonates with you and your life. Do you have a BFF? Do you have that best friend forever? Do you have that triplet? Just again, like encouraged prayer triplets. Do you have that? Just those three friends that you meet with regularly? Maybe four or five, I don't know. Do you have that small group, that home group of maybe 12 people that you meet with regularly? I wonder where you feel that you fit in. Where do you belong? Where can you be really you? Without masks, without pretense. Where do you fit in? Along with the word belong, there are three adjectives. Which adjectives would you go along with the word belong? Here are the three adjectives which we've chosen. We could have chosen welcoming or friendly, but these are the three words. Supportive, hospitable, and inclusive. So in order to help us be a church where people feel that they belong, we want to be a church which is supportive, hospitable, and inclusive. Supportive. Who do you run to when the going gets tough? Who do you turn to in times of trouble? Who are the people that you know would be there for you? If you became seriously ill, who would be the people to be on your doorstep immediately? If you fell into financial problems, who would be the person that you could go to and say, could you help me out this week? Where would you go in time of need? Who would be the person that you could talk to and the person that you know would be of practical help to you? I think everybody needs friends like that. Everyone needs people around us to support us. But let's turn that question on its head. Who would turn to you for that? Who is the people, or who are the people who would automatically think, that's the person. That's the person I would share that with. That's the person I'd go to for that help. Are there people that you rely on? And are there people who rely upon you? For I have to say that for you to belong, this is a dirty word now, takes an act of commitment. It takes commitment to belong. In fact, I could say about a particular object, my jumper belongs to me. It's mine. It belongs to me. Therefore, there's ownership of it. And in order for you to feel that you belong to church or belong to any group, there's got to be some kind of ownership on your part. You've got to have bought into it. Now, I'm not talking about giving in the collection plate, although I'm looking at Patricia again now, buying into, but that sense of ownership, that you have bought into it, that you belong because you're committed to it. How can you say that you are belong to something if there's no commitment, if you're not going to turn up every week, or as many times as you can at least. In order to promote that sense of belonging, you have to buy in. You have to be committed to it. And in terms of friendship, sometimes it's when the going gets tough that you really find out who those people are who are your friends. The ones that are really committed to you and the ones that are really committed to the friendship. Commitment. Ownership. Again, we say about Jesus, I am yours and you are mine. A friend who sticks closer than a brother, that's Jesus. Who's always there for us. Who commits himself to us. Greater love, no one than this. He lays down his life for his friends, and you are my friends, says Jesus. Supportive. Who supports you? And I'm sorry, and forgive us as a church, if over the last 6 months you feel in any way that the church has not supported you. Forgive us. We've done our best, and sometimes we know that we have failed. But forgive us if, as a church, if you feel that we've not supported you adequately. We've tried, but not always succeeded. Here's a second word that we would link with it, and that's the word hospitable. A hospitable church. A church which will open its doors and welcome people in. When I was writing this sermon, it's good to know I write them. When I was writing this sermon, I thought, this is good, I can preach this one. You know, I can preach it. And then I thought, no, I can't actually. Because what I was going to say is, when strangers, and a stranger is just a friend that you haven't made yet, when newcomers come into this church, how do we welcome them? When visitors come, when, as I was saying about the lady in one of my previous churches, and she comes back after 40 or 50 years, what do you do in terms of making that person feel welcome? Well, you are hospitable to them. You say, make yourself at home. And then we would say something like, there's tea and coffee afterwards. Come through and have a chat. And then somebody like Chris and Sarah Hume would probably say something like, why don't you come home for Sunday lunch with us? It's beans on toast. Hospitality. Hospitable. And I said, I can preach this one. Let me preach it. And I'm thinking, oh, hang on a second. COVID-19, we can't do any of that now. So here's the challenge. Given the circumstances that we're in now, how can we still be a hospitable church? How can we still show our love and concern for everyone who comes through this door to make sure that everybody feels that they are welcome? Yes, we're going to have to say, please sign in. Please wash your hands. Yes, we're going to have to say, please keep your distance and all of those things, but still, somehow, make sure that people feel that they are loved and welcomed. And in fact, by encouraging them to stay safe, by washing their hands and signing in, maybe that actually is an act of hospitality in itself. We're going to do all that we can to make sure that this is a COVID-19 secure venue. That we are safe in this place because we've kept all the rules. And maybe that's part of our hospitality too. But I leave that question hanging with you. In the current environment, how do we make sure that we are a hospitable church? And then lastly, an inclusive church. We want to say that everybody is welcome here. Whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done in your life, whatever your character, your personality, your makeup, whoever you are a child of the one true King. You are loved You are loved beyond measure, and you're welcome in this place. And so we want to say that this is an inclusive church, that everybody is welcome. But be careful. Saying that everybody is welcome to come does not mean the same thing that as anything goes. Because all groups, whichever group that you make your commitment to and decide that you are going to belong to, will have certain boundaries attached. So, for example, if I'm going to join a chess club, I'm probably committed to learning how to play chess. And if every time that I turn up to the chess club, I cause havoc by tipping over all the boards, they're going to say, we don't want you here anymore, because you're not showing that kind of commitment. Belong, believe, behave. Which order do you put those three things in? Do you have to believe in order to belong, and then that'll change your behaviour? Or do you have to behave in a certain way? Or do you belong first? Which order do those three things come in? And actually, I don't think that you can differentiate them. I think they are all bound in there. But let's go back to the original point. We want to be an inclusive and a welcoming church. Whoever you are, whatever your background, wherever you are coming from, you are loved by God, and therefore you are welcome in this place. I come back to the point, though. There is a friend closer, sticks closer than a brother. Where do you belong? Where do you fit in? Where is home for you? And I hope you can say that this place, and not simply the place, but the people within it, are your family, your brothers and your sisters, that you belong here, and that this is your home.